Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bibles to the book of John. John chapter 3. It's supposed to be up on the screen. And, well, there you go. Our crack tech staff have fixed the problem already. John chapter 3, it's there in your bulletin. But I encourage you to have it in a Bible or a Bible app in front of you. While you're turning there, so happy to see some familiar faces and also a new face, Sumit-san. Yes, welcome to our church. Yeah, I hope you feel the warmth and the presence of God while you're here. And also welcome back to some vacationers, and to some folks here as well. Also, just a preview of coming attractions. We had some baptisms this summer, and I thought when I baptized my mom a few weeks ago, I thought, oh, that's a good way to cap it. But maybe there's another one in the works somewhere. So continue to pray for more baptisms and for more of the Lord. So. I think we're ready to go. Great. Yeah, it's a long passage. It's from verse 1 through 15, John 3, verses 1 through 15. I'll start us with 1 through 4, and please join me all the way to 15. Be careful. If you're reading the bulletin, there is a passage from Numbers chapter 21. So don't go there. That's for later, okay? So I'll read. This is the word of God from John chapter 3. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Let's read together. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." The very words of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, it's a good scripture. This was preached by Pastor Hiroshi about 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago. And if you speak Japanese, or if you can at least understand Japanese, I highly, highly recommend that you go to mitakigc.com and download or stream Pastor Hiroshi's sermon on this text a few weeks ago. It will be much better than mine, but it will be in Japanese. And man, it was a good one. Really, really good one. So let's go into it. This is a very famous chapter, a very famous text, and this could likely be my new favorite story of the Bible. It's so good. It has everything in it. It has the Old Testament and the New Testament. It has God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It has Jesus' teachings. It has Moses' teachings. It's got everything. It's so good. And it goes to the place where I always like to go. And you know where that is. The cross. It's all there. And I love it. I absolutely love it. Our series this year is on change. And Pastor Hiroshi makes it clear, God changes me, God changes the world. If God were going to change the world, he would start with me. And so that's exactly what we find in this chapter, being born again, being born again. So, being born again. You know what? I have to do a bit of work before we get into the text here. Because for those of you in the English-speaking world who come from a background where English is a native language almost, the words born again have a lot of problems. It's like the word evangelical, fundamentalist, born again Christian. It carries with it some negative connotations. Let me give you two. Sometimes we hear in the English-speaking world, he is born again, I was born again, he became born again. And we think, oh, I see. You had a religious experience, which meant you had an emotional experience. Maybe you were into drugs. You had a big problem in your family. You were broke. You ran out of money. You were with the wrong people. Alcoholism, addiction, pornography, adultery. And then you were at the end of your rope, and it was this terrible life. And then the heavens opened up, and your emotions got a hold of you, and you were quote unquote born again. That phrase is for those people, the religious people, the people whose lives were at the bottom. That's one meaning in the English speaking world. And then the other meaning is, particularly in traditional cultures, liberal cultures, born again means you have these set of ideas about society. Everything must be black and white, and it's very strict and moral, and it's either this way or that, that's born again. This one way or no way. There's no gray area. Some people need that. People who are weak morally or simple intellectually, they can't understand the gray, and they can't understand complexity, so they're born again, meaning it's Jesus or nothing. That's the other idea. So the good news is, in our scripture today, Jesus goes right into those two things. Has no problems talking about it. Being born again. Well, what do I mean? There's a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you can see there in the first few verses we read, was a Pharisee and a member of the ruling council. John did not have to tell us who Nicodemus was. John, the author of this, could have just said, he was a man. Very simple. A man came to Jesus. Actually, it would have been easier. But why does John give us the identity of Nicodemus? Who is Nicodemus? Was he addicted? Was he someone whose life has fallen apart? Was he this emotional, impulsive, out there kind of? No. He was a Pharisee, and he was a member of the ruling council. First thing, he was old. Right? You don't become a ruler of the counselor if you're young. That's for the old people. He's been through some things. He's seen a lot. He's not emotional. Number two, he's educated. He's a Pharisee. He's a ruler. He's an intellectual. He understands black, white, and gray. He knows what's going on in the world, and he knows how things work politically, sociologically, economically. He's not a fool. Number three, he's got some money. He's wealthy. Pastor Hiroshi said, the rulers, the counselors, there weren't hundreds of them. There were maybe a few dozen of those. They were high up in society. He was the elite. His kids went to the private schools. He had the nice clothes, not like, okay. So he had money. He had his things together. Wasn't emotional, not impulsive. He was not someone who was just out there and wild, and, oh, I'm looking for God. I can't find him. My life is falling apart. Not like that guy, no. And yet, Jesus says, you need to be born again. You who have it all together, you who know all the answers, you who don't need a thing to add to your life, even you need to be born again. You need to be born again. Listen, to be born again does not mean to be a kind of a Christian. To be born again doesn't mean that you have to follow this set of politics or, you know, morality or this kind of code. To be born again doesn't mean that this is a new part of your life. No, it is your life. Let me put it this way. If you say a born-again Christian, doesn't mean anything. It's redundant. A Christian is born again. Amen? All right. Well, what does it mean then? What does it mean? Here's the thing. Nicodemus comes up to him at night. There's two ways you can look at this. One way is, first thing Nicodemus says is, Rabbi, we know you come from God. And one way you could see that is Nicodemus respects Jesus. He understands that Jesus is this man who has wisdom and power. Otherwise, how can he do these miracles, right? So he has this level of respect for Jesus. Now, the other way you can look at it is, no, he's playing some games. He's going to Jesus at night because this is politics as usual. And he's saying, okay, Jesus. Okay, young man. We understand that you have some influence. We're ready to play ball. You're this teacher, you have a gathering, all right? So whichever way you want to look at it, that's fine. Nicodemus starts off as, you're this teacher, I'm a ruler, you're just a carpenter, but you have power. Rabbi, he calls him rabbi, sign of respect. Or, look, young man, we can make this work. I can't come to you during the day, but I can come to you now. Let's work this out. Let's see if we can play ball here. Scratch your back, you scratch mine. And then Jesus, I think it's verse 4, right? He just has none of it. He's not going to be, you know, gomakasu. He's not going to be, you know, flattered. And Jesus is not going to play ball. Jesus just stops him right there. And he says, listen, fool. Listen, guy. We can talk about the kingdom. We can talk about teaching. We can talk about power. But let's talk about you. You cannot see the kingdom of God until you are born again. You cannot enter the kingdom of God until you are born of the water of the Spirit. Now, you can talk about the kingdom. You can, Rome and Greece and power and politics, and you want Jerusalem and you want Israel and you want Judaism to finally be restored. You're looking for a Messiah. You're looking for a political. You're looking for the kingdom? You're not going to find it with all this religion and all this. You need to be born again. And until you understand that, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get anything. And so Nicodemus, he's like, wait, what are you talking about here? What? I'm old. I can't go back in. What are you talking about? And Jesus is like, what do you mean? What am I talking about? Are you not a scholar? Are you not someone who has memorized not only Psalm 27, Psalm 21, 22, 23, 24? You've memorized Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You know your Bible. You know your Bible so well. You teach the people. You elaborate on the scriptures. You have internalized the scriptures. And yet you don't know what I'm talking about? Go away. Come back when you've been born again. He doesn't say that, does he? It gets real good from there. You see, some of us here, we've been praying. Some of us, we're still praying. Some of us, we're not only praying, but we're telling people that we love about God, about Jesus. We're talking to people and we're saying, read this. Check this link out. Listen to this guy. Because we love certain people and we want them to understand Jesus and we want them to know the power and the presence of God in their life. We're desperate, right? Some of you, you're praying, aren't you? And you're asking, God, will you open their eyes? And the more you try to help them understand, the more they're just like, I don't get it. What are you talking about? They'll even read the Bible, something that you show them, and they're like, yeah, that's interesting. Or, you know, you're praying for them, and it gets worse for them. They start going the other way. And you're just like, God, when are their eyes going to be opened? They're like a Nicodemus. Until they are born again, they can't see the kingdom of God. Did you catch that? Until the Spirit of God opens their eyes, opens their heart, opens the scripture to them, they're just like, what are you talking about? How can this be? Verse 9. So what do? Come back to me when you're born again. Not going to be able to do it. No. Jesus gives Nicodemus, out of his grace, a key. Very, very important key. You see, here's what a lot of people think about Christianity. They think about Christ and the church and Christianity. They think it's going to be something about them and something working inside of them. It's true. They think it's something that will fulfill them and complete them and actualize them, right? That's part of it. Something happens in here through Jesus Christ. But here's the paradox. You don't get inside until you go outside. You can't find your way in until you look out. You stop looking in your heart and look at some place that God is pointing you to. That's the key. And where is that key? You see, Nicodemus, he just says, how can this be? I don't get it. I don't see it. How can this be? And Jesus says, okay, let me take you there. Go to Moses. You're a Pharisee. You sit in the seat of Moses. You know these things. Let's go to Moses. Okay, so let's go. Numbers chapter 21. All right, Minsuki, right? Numbers chapter 21. I think we have it. It's in your bulletin. It's at the bottom. Numbers chapter 21. It's a great story, a fantastic little story. Six verses, and it's just all contained in one little thing. And for some of you, I am so excited. This will be your first time to read this story. And I'm so happy for you right now. You have no idea how giddy I am to share this story with you. For those of you who know, just be cool. Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea. They go around Edom, but the people grew impatient on the way. Let me stop. This is the people of Israel who left Egypt going through the Red Sea. They're now in the desert, and they're almost to the promised land. Almost there. Throughout this time in the desert, God has been giving them water, and he's been feeding them bread called manna from heaven. Are you with me? Okay? For years and years, decades, he's been giving them manna. Okay? That's where we are. And so they're going through Edom, going along Mount Hor, all that. Verse 5. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread. There is no water. We detest this miserable food. Holy cow. Yeah, you feeling that, right? I mean, okay, she's listening, but it's okay. I remember a few years ago, I had a birthday. Someone I really love, someone who loves me a lot, okay, made a present for me. She made this present, okay, with her hands and with her creativity, imagination, and effort, all in secret. So my birthday comes around. I get this present. I'm an idiot. Okay? Well, I go, this is it? Did I ask for this? Don't you know me better than this? Oh, man. Whoo! Yeah, that was a rough birthday. Could you imagine? You love somebody. You make something. You don't buy something. You make something for them. And they say, well, what is this? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. God has been giving people food from heaven. Years. They could die. And he's been in his... You know what? These miserable people, fine. You want to die? Let's speed this up. Let's send some snakes and let's bite you. And then you'll die. And see how happy you'll be. They deserve it, right? They deserve it. So that's what he does. Verse 6. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, here it is. Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. And when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. Now, if you have your own Bible, if you have a pen, if you have something to mark with, verse 9. When anyone was bitten by a snake and looked, I need you to make a mental note or a physical note, that word looked. Looked at the bronze snake, they lived. So God is judging his people. He has every right to. He's been loving them and loving them. And in fact, you know what? This is not the first time. It's not the last time either. This is the story of God's people. God loves them. The people reject his love. There's discipline. And they cry out, and God has mercy. And it's like this guy Moses. Oh, Moses, poor guy. He has to pray for his people again and again and again. And just when he thinks it's going okay, they do something stupid again, and Moses has to pray for his people again. Sound like anybody here? So he's praying for them, and God has this. Listen now. It's not the snakes killing the people. It's God. It's not the poison of the snakes. It's the wrath and anger of God. Pastor Hiroshi put it this way. Kami-sama wa buchikireta. He was a little bit ticked off. And just that little bit of anger was enough. Just a little bit of anger. So God says, now, make this... I need you to make a symbol, Moses. Get a bronze symbol of a snake, wrap it on a pole, and put it up. Display it. So what happens? He does that. He puts the bronze snake on the pole, and people are like, die. From what I don't, you know, it must have been painful. It must have been horrendous. You know, who knows? Anybody ever been poisoned before? I've been food poisoned. Had some bad chicken one day. Couldn't sleep for a week. That was bad. So they were bitten by snakes, and they're going through this pain. They look at a snake. Just look at the snake. The pain is gone. The symptoms are gone. They can breathe again. And the people around them who were dying, they're not one of them. They can live. They can live. What did they do? They looked at something that represented their sin. They looked at a symbol of their wickedness. They just looked at it, and they lived. Did you catch the story? Now let's go back to John. John chapter 3. Jesus compares himself to a snake. Is that dangerous? Because the last time we heard, most people think, snake? Snake? Wait. I thought in the, you know, Genesis chapter 3, the snake was the bad guy. The snake was the liar. The snake was evil. The snake was the one that caused us to sin and made us fall away from God. Jesus, you're calling yourself a snake? Yeah. Do you feel the tension? Maybe Nicodemus was feeling it. Why would the Messiah compare himself to a snake? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made him who knew no sin to be sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus said, I'm going to be your death. I'm going to be your curse. Galatians chapter 3, anyone who hangs on a tree is cursed. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, who took our curse by being the snake on our behalf. I got too far ahead of myself, but I don't care. I'm out of time. But Jesus became that snake. He was lifted up. And okay, let me just stop right there. Nicodemus, did he understand? Did he get it? Just as Moses lifted up the snake, so the Son of Man has to be lifted up. The Son of Man has to, who's the Son of Man? Is that Jesus? Let's be very clear. Who is the Son of Man? John chapter 9. You don't have to turn there, just trust me. You could if you like, if you don't trust me. But if you do, there's a blind man, okay? Jesus opens the eyes of a blind man. And he says to the blind man, he says, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the blind man says, who is he? And Jesus says, the one you've been speaking to and the one you're looking to is him. So who's the Son of Man? It's Jesus, right? Just as Moses lifted up the Son of Man, right, in the desert, so with anyone who looks on him, who believes in him. So that's the Son of Man. Now, Nicodemus, he's like, okay, I'm sorry, Jesus. I don't know. Does he get it? I don't know if he gets it. If you have in your Bibles, there's quotation marks. And I think in our version of it, if you look at John 3:16, there's no quotation marks. So that means that probably was the end of the conversation. Now, we're in John chapter 3. I need you to stay with me. John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes into the story. At verse 15, there's no more Nicodemus. Not until John chapter 19. John chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. Three chapters into the book of John is Nicodemus. John ends at chapter 21. Chapter 20, chapter 19, guess who's there? Nicodemus. What's happening in John chapter 19? In John chapter 19, Jesus has been crucified. He has been lifted up. He has been buried. Who buries Jesus? Is it his disciples? No. Is it his closest friends? Peter, James, John? No. They're gone. They've run away. Who is there to bury Jesus? A man named Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. It says, Nicodemus, the one who visited him at night. That Nicodemus. What happened that could cause Nicodemus to make the change? What happened? What happened? He could have been gone. This is years, most likely. Years have gone by. He's still watching Jesus. The words are echoing in his mind. You have to be born again. By the way, born again. You have a link in your text, in your Bible, or a footnote. It says born again or born from above. So the Greek language is kind of interesting. To be born again includes the meaning to be born from above. I wanted to title this born again from above because that's the meaning, to be born again. Change from above, right? So that's ringing in his ears, Nicodemus, all these years. And that one day, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees in John chapter 8. And in John chapter 8, he's looking at somebody. And he's telling these people, the day when you lift up the Son of Man, you will then see that I am who I am. You know who he's telling? He's telling the Pharisees. He's telling Nicodemus the Pharisee, you're going to lift up the Son of Man. The Son of Man has to be lifted up. In John chapter 8, he tells the Pharisees, until you lift up the Son of Man. And then in John chapter 19, the Son of Man is lifted up. And here's what I'm guessing, and here's what Pastor Hiroshi guesses. At that moment, the coin dropped, and Nicodemus understood, we're lifting up the Son of Man, just like Moses. I'm looking up at the Son of Man, just like those Israelites in the desert. And that's how I'm born again. That's the key. It's not in you. It's not in you. It's out there. No, it's not out there. It's up there. It's up there. You have to be born again. I don't get it. Don't look inside. Look up. Look up. Just like those Israelites had to look. You see, here it is. I had you circle the word look. That look is related to the word that we have. Actually, it's in your bulletin. There's a word, pistis. Inside the bulletin, there's a description of faith. To believe. Believe. What's the word believe in Japanese? Huh? Shinjiru? What's the word for faith in Japanese? Shinko. This is awesome. This is really awesome. Shinko. It's two kanjis. The first one is shin, right? The second one is ko. Ko is actually two little kanjis. Shin, which is the word for word, gen. And then the other kanji is aogu. Aogu. Aogu means look up. Look up at the word. And that is faith. Shinko. Okay, you're looking at me like, Chris, what's going on? Okay, it's all right, it's okay. The Israelites in the desert looked up at the snake. And they had faith. That faith healed them. That faith saved them. Nicodemus looked up at Jesus on the cross. And that's what changed him from above. You want eternal life? You want the kingdom of God? You want real change in your life? Listen to me. We're not talking about reformation. Here is the biggest mistake here. Because when I say born again, here's what a lot of people think. Yes, Chris, I think born again is good. Go to church, just change my habits, start reading, start memorizing, start studying, start joining the church, becoming a part of the community. This is good for my life. This is change. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay? That's reformation. What Jesus is saying is you need transformation. There's a difference. I want you to imagine in your mind, you have some trees that are peaches. You have peach trees, momo. And one day you decide, I would like to open an applesauce business. The problem is, you have peaches. So what do you do? What do you do? Well, you take off all of the peaches and you pray for apples. What happens? The peaches come back. Okay, all right. Okay, here's what I'm doing. I am going to just do some reforms. I'm going to cut back on some things. I'm going to stop doing some bad things. I'm going to trim the peach tree and trim it and trim it and trim it. And then the apples will grow out. What happens? The peaches come out. Why? The root is still the peach tree. Right? Born again does not mean reformation, it means transformation. Let me just give you one more. Okay, you prune it, let me take some apples and let me just tape them onto the branches. Let me, just get it in there. And that apple will bring out some new apples. Let me just be a little bit more churchy. Let me just put some more religion, just a little bit more Jesus. You're still going to get peaches. Get down in the root. Be born again. Be transformed. How? How can this be? Look up. Look up. I'm almost done. Listen, there's no Christianity. There's no church. There's none of you here unless you're born again. And then some of you say, okay, Chris, thanks. Good sermon. Nice performance. Let's sing and get out. I've been born again. What do I do about my sin? What do I do about my habits? How do I change my mind? What do I do? Born again is good for the non-believer. What about for the one who's already born again? Disciple me, Chris. Okay, I will. Jesus said, unless you understand born again, you're not going to grow. Everything about this life is about being born again. You remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, he says, let me teach you how to pray. Let me disciple you in prayer. This is how you pray every day. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. That's called the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught his disciples to pray that prayer as often as they can. So his disciples would teach their disciples who teach their... That's all of us. That's our daily disciple prayer. Why? Because in that prayer is everything that all of us need. That is 10 things that every human being needs. The 10 most important things for a human being Jesus gave to us in that prayer. Our Father, you will not be born again until you understand your relationship with God is not of a God and a human, is not of a king and a subject, it's of a child and a father. Listen, to a Hindu and to a Buddhist, that's meaningless. To a Jew and to a Muslim, that is blasphemy. But that's what we need from Jesus, that Father, who is in heaven, our Heavenly Father. Hallowed be your name. Every human being needs to understand the holiness of God. The holiness of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, who is in heaven. That's being born again. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Christian, you are not trying to get into heaven. Heaven has come to you. That's why you're a Christian. We're not here to work our way up. We're here because he has worked his way down. Amen. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Every human being needs to understand it's not about me, it's about his will in my life. Right? Unless you understand that, your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. God is the one who sustains me. God is the one who heals me. God is, right? Let me just go right through it. Every human being needs to know the relationship of God, the holiness of God, the kingdom of God, the bread from heaven. Every human being needs to know, forgive us our sins. You don't need a clear conscience. You don't need to say, oh, you're doing okay. You made mistakes. No, you're not doing okay. You don't need a clear conscience. You need a cleansed heart. Not clearance, cleansing. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Every human being knows I need a relationship with other people. And here's our problem. Here's my problem, if I'm honest, okay? You are here to help me. You are here to give me the respect I deserve. You are to aid me in being the person I ought to be. That's my problem. And then God says, Chris, no. It's all about grace. I gave you everything you need. Chris, you are about him. Chris, they're going to insult you. You're going to give them grace. Chris, he is going to step on your foot again and again, 7 times. Chris, you know what you're going to do? You're going to forgive them. Why? Because love covers over a multitude of offenses. You need this, Chris. It's called grace. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin. You'll never get that unless you're born again. Forgiveness, relationship. Lead us not into temptation. Every human being needs to understand, I am a sinner. It is through temptation that I fall. I need to run from temptation. I need to stand against the enemy. lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There is an evil one. There is an enemy. I cannot see him unless I'm born again. Are you following me here? This is discipleship. This is Christianity. Unless you're born again, your daily prayer is just religion. But when you are born again, your daily prayer is a relationship with God himself. You just have to look up. Look up to him who was lifted up for you. He took your curse. He took your sin. He took your offense. He took your sinfulness, and he became everything you are, so that in him you could become everything that he is. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. I need to go there right now. Would you go there with me? Let's pray. Whew. Heavenly Father, I pray for born again. I pray for new birth. I pray for real transformation. I pray for discipleship. I pray for community. I pray for your glory. I pray for your kingdom. I pray for your spirit. I pray, God, for new life. I pray, God, that you would apply these truths to my life. I pray, oh God, that you would have mercy upon mercy, because you are a faithful and loving God. I pray that the truth will penetrate into my cold, hard, stony heart, making it a heart of flesh, tender and ready, God, to be alive again. I pray for being born again. I pray for new life. I pray for your word to come in power and in grace. I pray, God, for hope. I pray, God, for faith. I pray that people will look up and believe. Oh, God, have mercy on us, Lord, so that we can live once more. And, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we worship you for new birth, for being born of water and spirit. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your kingdom. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you, God, for this place here and now, to be reminded once more of the life we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. Thank you so much. I worship you, and I stand in awe of you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.